You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with Vince Semperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, how the heck are you?
Jeff, doing well on the baseball side of things. Regular season over. Dodgers pulled out a sweep, had the most wins in the major leagues. And we get a couple days before the stress begins. Double stress for me on Wednesday with the Lakers and Dodgers both playing around the same time.
Yeah, how'd the Raiders do?
Not great. But, you know, it's fine. I got a lot of things going on right now that's positive, so I'm going to focus on that.
Sorry for bringing it up. We will focus mostly on the Dodgers today then. Today we're going to talk a little bit about just kind of the season review in general, talk about a few notes about the upcoming postseason series. We now know who the Dodgers will be playing and what the rotation will be, at least somewhat. So we'll talk about that stuff. We'll talk about our thoughts on the season, and then we're going to revisit some preseason predictions we made and see how dumb we are. So that's the plan for today. But first, we want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, so let's get the news out of the way first. The Dodgers will be playing the Brewers in the first round of the postseason. The wild card round, I think, is what it's called. And it was a close one. Going into the last day of the season, it could have been any of, I think there were four teams still in the mix for the eighth seed. It could have been the Giants, the Brewers, the Cardinals, or the Phillies. In the end, it ended up being the most likely scenario ended up happening. Maybe not the way we would have thought. The Brewers lost, but then the Giants also lost. And so the Brewers snuck in and the Giants were left out despite having the same record as the Brewers by virtue of the tiebreaker, which I think I talked about last week, talking about how it's kind of silly that the tiebreaker there is in division records. So really the Giants ended up losing out to the Brewers because the Giants were one game worse in division, but the Giants had to play the Dodgers and the Padres, while the Brewers had to play teams that aren't as good as the Dodgers and the Padres. So probably not fair to the Giants, but if there's one thing we do not care about here at Locked On Dodgers, it's things being fair to the Giants. So tough luck. So the Brewers are in with a 29-31 record, and that's who the Dodgers will be playing starting on Thursday, Vince.
Yeah, I mean, this is basically best case scenario in terms of the actual team on field on paper for the Dodgers. And, you know, not that there's any more confidence instilled than if they were playing any other team, but at least it's best case scenario in that regard.
And we would never root for injury for anyone. But one thing that makes this maybe a little bit even more confident for the Dodgers going into this series is that Brewers starter Corbin Burnes, who was their best pitcher this year, was outstanding. He was placed on the 10-day IL this weekend, and so he will not be available for this series at all, which definitely, you know, I've said all along, the Dodgers, whoever they play, they're going to play a team that's much worse than them, and that is the case, and the Brewers are even more much worse than them without their best pitcher. As for the Dodgers pitchers, we know what the rotation will look like for the first two games, hopefully the only two games. Walker Buehler will start game one. Clayton Kershaw will start game two. I think it really comes down to days of rest. They could have gone the other direction, but Kershaw would have been starting with less rest. And so it made sense to go this way. And I think it seems like Dave Roberts really does kind of view Kershaw and Buehler as interchangeable co-aces when it comes to who's going to start a series.
Yeah, he may view them like that. I don't view them like that. Buehler has proven so far to be the ace in the postseason and should be getting game one starts, although Kershaw did have a good year. But like I said, it worked out the right way that it needs to be.
Yeah, and I have no problems with it. I think I do view them as the co-aces, and I would have been fine. I expect the Dodgers. I think the most likely scenario is that the Dodgers win games one and two and don't play game three. If they do get to game three, we don't know who the starter will be, if they'll use a starter, if they'll use a bullpen game, if they'll do an opener. It all remains to be seen. We do know that all three of the other starters will be on the roster. We'll probably talk tomorrow more about roster stuff because there are a lot of questions about the roster. So we won't get into that too much right now. But one thing that I wanted to talk about a little bit, Vince, that maybe gives me a little bit more confidence going into this postseason series than I would have had in previous seasons. And this is kind of lead into an overall talk about the season in review. I don't know exactly how to say it, but basically the lack of magic makes me feel better. You know, we had the season last year with all the walk-off homers and the walk-off wins. And, you know, a lot of these, this is the eighth year in a row the Dodgers won the division. In several of the years, they had crazy hot streaks. They had the walk-offs. They had different kinds of magic. And this year, there wasn't any of that magic. It was almost boring, and I love it because all the Dodgers did was just come out and just consistently be better than everybody they played and just pound them into submission. There were no crazy long winning streaks. I think, what, six or seven games was their longest winning streak, but there were no losing streaks at all. They never lost three games in a row. It was just consistently, they were just a great team. And, you know, that to me, and maybe I'm deluding myself and trying to make myself feel better going into the postseason, but to me, it seems like a team like that is less likely to fall apart because they're not relying on the magic. You know, Max Muncy ended the season with a batting average below 200. And as we'll talk about in the second segment today, one of us predicted Max Muncy to be the team MVP. You know, I won't say which one of us yet. You know, Cody Bellinger batted 239. There was just so much. Jock Peterson, I don't know if he even showed up at all this year. And yet the Dodgers had such a deep, consistent team that they just dominated from wire to wire, start to end of the season. And that makes me feel good going into the postseason.
It would make me feel good
if you weren't a pessimistic curmudgeon.
No, if it, the first series, like none of that matters in the first series. Like depth is not really going to matter. None of the, you know, it's just going to matter who's the better team, obviously, and who plays better. Who's the better team is not, doesn't even matter. It's who plays better in 2 to 3 games. So in the long run, you know, this postseason with no days off benefits the Dodgers because of the depth and because of everything else. But yeah, I mean, the premise of your idea is spot on. There was a very business-like, you know, get to the stadium, get your win and go home. There wasn't a couple walk-offs, you know, there wasn't too much. And as we said, kind of the whole season that they never really had a bunch of guys going. Maybe this weekend might have been the best in terms of getting a bunch of guys going or a bunch of guys hitting well at the same time. And that's, you know, Pollock and Bellinger and Seager and everyone else. So that's a good sign. You know, that's positive that and there's really nobody going into the playoffs slumping that bad. And a lot of guys are picking up right now heading into the postseason, only a couple of days off, and then you're playing baseball almost every day for a little while here and there. So that benefits it. But yeah, I mean, it was a very business-like season. There was a slight, you know, the Padres got within a game and a half, but you never really felt like it was going to be a thing. And yeah, it was still a fun season. But hopefully that means that it brings along a magical postseason in terms of, you know, rather than a magical regular season and a maybe not so great postseason.
Yeah, the magic comes from the wins, not necessarily how they win. And this year they won because they were the better team every single day. And that's what I'm looking forward to in the postseason. Speaking of things that are better than everything else, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar, but guess what? If all the protein bars in the world were major league teams, Built Bar would be the Dodgers because it is better in every single way. Dodgers had the best offense in baseball. Guess what? Built Bar tastes the best. The Dodgers had the best pitching in baseball. Guess what? Built Bar is also the healthiest. Look at that. Built Bar is the Dodgers of protein bars. They have 18 flavors, just like the Dodgers have 18 guys who will beat you into submission on any given day. They have caramel brownie. Doesn't that just sound like Max Muncy? Cherry Barcia. That's Cody Bellinger. I'm running out of analogies there. Those two didn't even work. But what I'm telling you is Built Bar tastes delicious. It has as much protein, if not more, than every other protein bar on the market. Fewer carbs, fewer calories. It's great for keto. It's great for weight loss. It's great for building muscle. Whatever your nutrition goals are, you don't have to sacrifice flavor and happiness to meet those goals, because Built Bar, you can feel like you're eating a candy bar, but you'll be doing something healthy. That's like, if I had a genie, what I would wish for, the first wish would be, make it healthy to eat candy bars. Guess what? We don't need a genie. We have Built Bar. And if you go to builtbar.com right now and use promo code Locked On, you'll get $10 off your next order. So why wouldn't you do it? I'll tell you what, you should. You will go. Use promo code Locked On for $10 off at builtbar.com. And keep it locked on, Dodgers. All right, Vince, it's time for our obscure former Dodger of the day. As you know, the Dodgers will be playing the Brewers starting on Wednesday. And so I looked in our fancy tool on Baseball Reference to see players who played for the Dodgers and the Brewers. And first I looked at guys who played only for the Dodgers and Brewers, and it splits them up into hitters and pitchers. And most of the time, all the people on the pitchers list were also on the hitters list, because the Dodgers and Brewers are both in the National League. They haven't always been, and so usually anybody who hit for the, or pitched for the Dodgers and Brewers also hit for the Dodgers and Brewers. But I actually noticed there was one guy who was on the pitcher list, but not the hitter list, which was kind of weird. And especially because it was a name I recognized and I knew he's not a pitcher. And so there was one guy who played for five different teams in his career, but only pitched for two of them. And that guy is Mark Loretta. Mark Loretta started his career with the Brewers, played, 8 years with the Brewers, and was fine, nothing great. Then he went to the Astros for half a season, the Padres for 3 years, the Red Sox for a year, back to the Astros for 2 years, and then finished his career with 1 year with the Dodgers in 2009. He made two All-Star teams, one with the Padres in 2004 and one with the Red Sox in 2006. Other than that, he was kind of just a nondescript player, had a career OPS plus of 98, so he's basically just an average hitter, a career defensive war of 0.0, so he was an average fielder. But all that added up to, because he played 15 seasons, 19.3 career war. So he was nobody's idea of a Hall of Famer, but a decent player for a reasonably long time. And his last postseason appearance was with the Dodgers in 2009, and in that division series he got one plate appearance, and that was the game-winning hit in the Matt Holliday crotch game, the first postseason game I ever attended in person, when the Dodgers beat the Cardinals. Clayton Kershaw started against Adam Wainwright. Dodgers were down in the ninth inning. James Loney hit a line drive that should have been caught to end the game, but instead Matt Holliday lost it in the waving white towels, and it hit him in the crotch. And what was that other dude's name?
Ronnie Belliard.
Ronnie Belliard got a big hit in that inning, and then Mark Loretta had the walk-off hit to win the game. And other than that, he was pretty obscure in his career, and especially in his time with the Dodgers, so I figured he would be a decent, obscure former Dodger. You have any Mark Loretta thoughts?
Not specifically him, but that game, that division series game, probably in top five games I've ever been to, and especially it might have been my first postseason game, but if not, definitely the first one I remember or have a good memory of. And yeah, that's when you feel the juices of the postseason and the winning and how great it feels. And I hope to get back to that.
Yeah, I don't know if I knew that you were at that game. I wonder if that was the first game that you and I were ever both at.
Potentially.
Yeah, that was, 6 years before you and I met. So, all right, so that's Mark Loretta for you. All right, let's talk about our preseason predictions, Vince. Once around June, when they decided, okay, we're actually going to play baseball this year, you and I, on a few different episodes, made some predictions for the Dodgers this year. And I went through and listened. I was just trying to find where we predicted the team record to see how close we got. And I ended up finding a few other predictions. And so I thought it would be fun to revisit those. But let's start with the record. Do you remember what you predicted, Vince?
I want to say 42 and 18.
You did predict 42 and 18, so you ended up being off by a game. You underestimated the Dodgers by one game.
How dare I?
Yeah, but that's pretty awesome. I predicted 58 and 2, but then I backed off of that prediction. And like a chump, I went all the way down to 39 and 21. So and it was one of those things I even said. I said it wouldn't shock me at all if they won 42 or 43 games. But if I'm going with a prediction, I got to account for health and whatever. And so I hedged my bets like a little weasel. And so you were much closer on that than I was. But both of us, we both correctly predicted that the Dodgers were going to dominate their opponents. And they did, because even 39 and 21 is...
second best record.
Yeah, it would have been awesome. And 39... wins. I'm just pulling out my calculator. That's the equivalent of 105 wins over regular season. So, you know, that it definitely wasn't a weak prediction, but in hindsight, I underestimated them. Let's go to somebody asked us in a mailbag episode our sleeper picks for team MVP. And you listed three possibilities, Vince, and one of them looks good in hindsight, and the other two look really bad. Do you remember them?
I do not remember those.
Okay, you said Max Muncy, Jock Peterson, or AJ Pollock. And that might surprise you, because as you know, you are not necessarily a big Pollock believer or confidence haver, whatever it is. But you did correctly predict that he would be a sleeper pick for Dodgers MVP. He ended up tied for the team lead in home runs. And definitely compared to expectations, I would say that AJ Pollock was the player who most exceeded expectations from us. Don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. Muncy really let me down, Jock. I thought the magic was going to be there, but Pollock was more of probably the least confident pick I would have had if you had me rank them back then. And I don't know, lately he's been growing on me in terms of I trust him a little more. He looks good against righties and lefties. He's not swinging as many pitches in the dirt. So hopefully that carries into the postseason. And, he's just locked in right now. So I'll take that. I don't know why I picked three guys, but at least one of them worked out.
Yeah, well, I only picked one. And I even said, I don't know that he could actually be the MVP of the team, but I think he might be good. You know me, I like to hedge my bets sometimes. And that was Blake Treinen. So, and that doesn't look terrible. Treinen had, for the most part, a solid season. He had a couple hiccups recently, although his last couple appearances were good again. And he might be the Dodgers' eighth inning guy right now, which is probably what they were hoping for when they signed him. So I think he probably lived up to as much as the Dodgers were hoping for when they signed him.
Yeah, I mean, at least in terms of the bullpen, he definitely did. He was the kind of the go-to guy in key situations and key spots. You know, if there ever was a key situation late in the game where you would normally, sometimes nowadays, you'd use your closer in a key spot like that, that's where training came in rather than Kenley. So, I mean, in terms of the bullpen, he might not be the MVP with standout numbers, but he was definitely the rock of it.
Yeah, I think so. We had one episode where we each made three bold predictions for the season. Five of the six predictions, I think we can talk about. One of them remains to be seen, because one of your predictions referred to the postseason, but I do think we could talk about it anyway. My first prediction was that the Dodgers win the division by 10 or more games. They ended up beating the Padres by 6 games. But I also think the Padres were at least 4 games better than any of us would have expected them to be. I think if you had told me that the Dodgers are going to win 43 games, I might have predicted that they would win the division by 12 or more games.
Yeah, they played up the everyone else in the division, played down or exactly where they were. So, yeah, but, I mean, Dodgers won 43 games, and for them to not to win the division by 10 games, obviously somebody had to play a little bit out of their mind.
Your first prediction did not turn out great, Vince. You predicted 7 players batting over 300. In the end, we had Corey Seager and Justin Turner. Mookie Betts and Will Smith were both close. But the Dodgers had a great offense, but batting average was not the key to that offense.
Should have went OPS. I would have said 7 over 800. I think they're what, at 6?
I didn't look at that, but it's pretty close. So, yeah, they definitely spread the wealth on the offense, had a lot of good contributors, but that didn't really reflect in batting average so much. My next pick was Walker Buehler would win the Cy Young Award. I feel confident that that's not going to happen between his blister issues and the fact that he wasn't very good for his first few starts. But I still think that Cy Young Award is coming someday, but not in 2020. Your next pick prediction was A.J. Pollock is going to be really good.
A.J. Pollock, I'm riding him high right now. Yeah, good job, A.J. Pollock. You made me look good, at least in that sense. And like I said, now you're growing on me, so don't let me down the postseason.
Exactly. My final prediction in that episode was by the time the postseason rolls around, I'm paraphrasing here, but basically by the time the postseason rolls around, Dustin May, Tony Gonsolin, and Julio Urias will all be rested and ready to dominate. And I think that worked out about as well as we could have planned. When we recorded this episode, David Price hadn't yet opted out. Remember when Jimmy Nelson existed?
Yeah, barely.
I had forgotten that he was even a thing, you know, and so there was questions about the rotation and everything, but I didn't go so far as to predict that all three of them would be in the rotation by the end of the season, but I did predict that they would all be ready to be key contributors to a Dodgers postseason run, and I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
And then your last prediction was Brusdar Graterol will get the save in Game 5 of the World Series to clinch the World Series title for the Dodgers.
I do remember this one because I said, I don't remember what I said. I tried to hedge my bet and you didn't let me. So I let the final out.
You said he would record the final out for the Dodgers this season, but didn't want to say when that would be. And I said, no, you have to.
True. Yeah, that's very, very possible still. And if he's hot in the first few rounds of the postseason and Kenley is maybe not so hot, I could definitely see Graterol being as one of the late inning guys and very potentially that closer to close out a World Series championship. And then we can all celebrate with champagne or apple cider or whatever your preference.
Yeah, Dave Roberts this year made a conscious choice not to pigeonhole many relief pitchers into specific roles, and Graterol may be the most at any of them. Oral mentioned on the broadcast on Sunday, Graterol pitched in every inning this season, 1 through 9. He pitched at least once in every inning, and the only inning he maybe there was one of, I think there were 2 innings that he only had 1 appearance in, and one of those was the 9th. And so for right now, Kenley Jansen is still the closer. But I think what we've seen in Kenley's usage over the last couple weeks is that Dave Roberts appears to be open to doing what's best for the team when it comes to the bullpen. And hopefully we won't need to see Kenley blow a game in the postseason to have him not be in that closer's role. I still wonder what it would look like if the Dodgers did go in a big game in the postseason with a 1-run lead and arrested Kenley. I assume Kenley's going to be out there in the closer role, but there's plenty of ways to see how that could go to Brusdar Graterol in a World Series clinching game.
Yeah. Hopefully let's throw the good vibes out there.
We had another, there was one you predicted Max Muncy would be the Dodgers MVP this year, and somehow you let me off the hook without making a prediction. I asked you who it would be, and you didn't reciprocate, so I appreciate that, not making me guess. I think I would have guessed Mookie Betts, just because either Betts or Bellinger, but Betts was the shiny object, and I probably would have picked him, but that's easy to say. But I think for as much as we love Max Muncy, I think it's safe to say he was not the Dodgers MVP this year.
Very safe to say that. He did have overall disappointing year. Like I said, power was still there a little bit, but not everything else. But I'm counting on him, as so are the Dodgers, on the postseason. I'm still of the believer if the Dodgers had Muncy in 2017, they wouldn't have even had to worry about the Astros cheating just because of his play discipline and everything else. While he has struggled with that a bit this year, I think once he gets into the big games right now, he'll bring it back and hopefully get it going.
For sure. I think that's right. And maybe he'll still be the World Series MVP. And then you can claim
it. And then I can still claim it.
Yep. There was another prediction we made that you and I both agreed on. And I think the main thing we can learn from this is that neither of us is very good at math. The point of the question, I asked how many different players will get at least 50 plate appearances at DH. And you said 5. And I said, that sounds about right. And I said, I think they're going to spread those at bats out and blah, 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 blah. And while, yes, they did spread those at bats out, they only had 260 total plate appearances at DH. And so having 5 guys getting it would have actually been spreading it out less than they did. If we had lowered that number to 39, I think there would have been 3 guys. So they had a lot of different guys get plate appearances at DH, but nobody got to 50 plate appearances. And turns out mathematically that wasn't likely.
Yeah, if we would have just done 60 times 4 plate appearances a game, we would have figured out that 5 at 50 was probably a little bit too much.
Yeah, probably not going to happen. but I think the underlying concept of the Dodgers are going to use the DH to give guys days off. They're going to spread it around, get a lot of guys plate appearances there. That was accurate. Our math was just off a little bit.
Yeah, and based on coming in for the postseason, it's going to depend a lot on Justin Turner and his hamstring, because if it starts flying up a little and they want to keep him just hitting, then Justin Turner will be the primary DH in the postseason.
And then the last prediction we made, somebody asked what the OR gave an over-under on home runs for the team leader at 17.5. Actually, he gave us 18, and we adjusted to 17.5 so that, because that's how you do over-unders. So over-under on 17.5 home runs by the team leader. We both took the over. You said it would be Muncy. I said it would be Bellinger, with Jock, Muncy, and Mookie all having a possibility of getting there. In the end, nobody got there. Mookie and Pollock led the team with 16 home runs. They both got close. The Dodgers did have a lot of guys with a lot of home runs, and overall they hit more home runs on a per game basis than they did last year, when they set a team record and what would have been a major league record. So it was a very productive home run season for the Dodgers, but they really, really spread that wealth too, and nobody topped 17.5.
Yeah, what I learned is don't put all your eggs in one basket, maybe when making predictions, because Max Muncy burned me 3 times.
Yeah, yeah, you. But AJ Pollock did good for you a couple times. So
that is true.
Really, you split your eggs between 2 baskets, and then one of the baskets fell on the ground and everything cracked, and it wasn't the one that you would expect to fall and crack.
Yeah, true that.
I think that's all the predictions I took note of. All in all, it was, even though what it showed us is that even though we were rarely right about our specific predictions, we went into the season with optimism, and the Dodgers did nothing but reward us for that optimism, because they had a great season and it really was fun. When I said before it wasn't magical, for me that was almost a compliment, because when the Dodgers in 2019 had that walk-off weekend against the Rockies, it made you realize the Dodgers were a couple pitches away from getting swept by the Rockies. You know, a walk-off win is always fun, but it means that you were close to losing late in the game. And this Dodgers team, they did have some late inning magic, if you want to call it magic, but really it boiled down to they just had too many good hitters for other teams to get them out for 9 innings straight. And that's where it worked. And they had a really good bullpen and really good starting pitching, and everything was just really good. And as a baseball fan, that's a really fun team to watch.
Yeah, I mean, magical in the sense of a bunch of things went right when maybe they shouldn't have went right. Whereas the Dodgers just went right because they were supposed to go right, and that's exactly what they did. So winning is fun. Winning 43 out of 60 games is fun. That's, you know, 43 times we ended up with a happy episode or a happy night rather than a not happy night. So I'll take that any day of the week. And like I said, hopefully some of that magic, quote unquote, will move over into the postseason. Not in the form of walk-off wins per se. I'd rather not have that stress, but just in the form of wins in general.
9-1 wins. That's
yeah.
What I want.
Yeah.
You know, the best way to avoid Kenley Jansen stress this October is to score 10 runs a game.
I would hope that would not bring in any Jansen stress.
Yeah, hopefully. All right. I think that will wrap it up for today. You have any final thoughts, Vince?
No, we got a couple more days off and a couple more episodes that we'll have previewing the actual series and getting into that kind of stuff. But today we just wanted to take a quick note of the season and our predictions. And now it's all about the Brewers.
And there are a lot of interesting questions about what the first series postseason roster will look like with what Roberts has said about cutting two or three pitchers from the roster. There's questions about who will be cut and questions about who will be added to take those spots on the offensive side. So probably dig into some of that tomorrow and a few other things. I'm sure there will be news coming out the first day without baseball. There's always little bits of news that come out. So we'll have a lot to talk about tomorrow. So please join us again. Thank you for listening regularly. Please subscribe. Listen every day. Tell your friends about it. We really appreciate all you guys have done to help grow our podcast and make us really enjoy doing it. So please keep that up. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. And our phone number is 323-863-LOCK-5625. You can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text anytime you want over there. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!